You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're listening to Artbank on 95 BFM, and we've got Magic Stephen in the studio. Kia ora, Magic Stephen, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. So you're over from Melbourne in Australia because you're playing some shows around Aotearoa. I'm very intrigued by the bio that we've got here. We were just talking about that off air. So your work has been described at various times as autobiographical storytelling, deadpan comedy, guided meditation, group therapy, and long-form beat poetry. That's quite a broad house there.
Yeah. I'm one of those people who doesn't like having to describe what they do, and so I just collected descriptions that other people applied and put them together into that list. I think the one in there that's deadpan comedy, I think the person actually called it deadpan not comedy.
Right.
But I think I just polished that up and made it deadpan comedy.
Fair enough. It's selective. It's your bio. You can put whatever you want in there, really. But it does paint a bit of an extraordinary picture about what people might experience when they come along to one of your shows. So the first one that you're playing is in Auckland on the 27th. What can people expect a little bit from that evening?
I do live readings of stuff that I've written, which might be similar to something like someone reading from a diary about where they record their observations and thoughts and experiences. Every time I have a show, I just select something and read it. And in this case, there's a few different music acts playing, and I'll do a reading, and yeah, I'll just do that each time, each show.
What do you have a sort of an idea when you go into a show or a reading what it is you want to read, or do you select it kind of randomly? Do you go, this is the vibe I'm going for today, or is it just like flip open a page in your notebook?
Well, most of the time I write something new for each reading. I hopefully will do that this week, but I'm not sure exactly what's going on here and whether that will be possible. But in an ideal situation, I would take some notes on whatever's going on wherever I happen to be, and then I would read from that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to do that, but it's quite soon, and yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be able to get it together in time, but otherwise I'll select something that will be hopefully the right fit for the time and place.
I'm also quite interested because illustration and sort of comic drawing is something that's really significant in your practice as well. Especially if you go on your Instagram or your website, it's just mostly your drawings there. There's not sort of lots of text and stuff. I'm really struck by the kind of like loveliness of them. They're really sort of hopeful, sort of friendly little drawings. What makes you want to do that kind of thing, and how long have you been drawing in that way for?
I think it's been about 5 years since I started doing shows and making drawings. That happened around the same time. And yeah, that's interesting the way you described it. I guess I think about how people might feel after looking at whatever I'm making, and
mm-hmm.
I kind of would like people to feel good, or I'm not really wanting to bring anyone down. I guess some of them might be more melancholic, but if possible, I think part of me tries to lean in a somewhat positive direction.
I reckon. I also quite like some of the sort of recurring images or characters that you've got in those drawings. You've got your sort of little... he's not a stick man. He's like a but he's quite like a simply drawn man. And then you've also got the sun comes up quite often as well.
Yeah.
Was it one of those things where you just sort of drew those and then you were like, actually I like these and I'm going to keep working with them? Or is there a reason for picking those specific wee images to keep using?
I guess I don't know. Yeah, they came up and they were just the things that I sort of found that I liked when I was doodling, and then I kind of ran with them and kept thinking of things kept coming up involving these figures. And then I often wonder what's going on, because it's coming from the subconscious, and I could theorize, other people theorize, but yeah, those just seem to be figures. The sun seems pretty important. So, so that kept getting coming up.
So you do quite a lot of touring around different festivals and comedy festivals and things like that. How do you sort of find a platform for what you want to do? Because it doesn't necessarily sit in a normal sort of comedy bracket. It doesn't necessarily sit in normal poetry brackets, things like that. How did you sort of find a space for what it is that you're trying to perform or make?
That's often, I just kind of get in touch with people, and some people are receptive and many people aren't. I think also my stage name might not sound very good to a lot of people getting a random email from me, this stage name Magic Steven.
I gotta say, when Pat Krause, who hooked this up from the Audio Foundation, when he was like, I've got someone called Magic Steven I think you might like to talk to, that was definitely a selling point for me. I was like, I'm sold. I don't even know what he does, but Magic Steven's definitely on.
Well, meanwhile, you get an email back from someone saying, sorry, we're fully booked for the next couple of months, but also we don't book magicians, comedic or otherwise.
Right.
And then I had to say that I'm not a magician. Some people are receptive, and that's why I'm so grateful when people like Audio Foundation host me, or people who are open to different forms. I actually met Pat Krause when he played at this really amazing lineup in Melbourne at the Toad Hotel, with all different strange performers of different types. And that was when we met, and I was really into what he was doing, and what I was doing seemed to resonate. And then I actually opened for him once in Stockholm a couple of years ago. So there's sort of these strange places that seem to be open to these things that are maybe less categorized or what have you.
But also that nice kind of collegiality or like connectivity between different kinds of performers, of sort of unusual is maybe the wrong phrase for it there, but sort of slightly dysfunctional perhaps,
yeah,
performances. It's not necessarily what you'd expect to go and see, but it has a lovely sort of community that does form around those things as well, an international one as it goes too.
True.
You were thinking you might read something for us. Do you want to do that now, or should we play a song and then...
I think I need to work out, I need to pick something, so if you're happy
right,
to play a song.
We will play a track then, and then when we come back, Magic Steven will probably read something for us from his notebook, which is sitting on the desk here. We're going to play a Kieran J. Callinan track. This is The Hole of the Moon. It's a Waterboys cover. That was Karen J. Callinan there, The Hole of the Moon. That's a Waterboys cover, and it's currently 6 in your 95 BFM top 10. We've got Magic Stephen in studio. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Pretty good. And you're going to read us something, aren't you, from your notebook?
Yeah. Should I just read for like a couple of minutes?
Yeah, you go for gold.
All right. I always promised myself. A long time ago, I made a promise to myself that I would never get into an LDR, long-distance relationship. But at some point, I broke that promise. It seems I broke my own promise, and now I am in one, with myself. For the last however much time, I've been in a long-distance relationship with myself, and the worst part of it is that I don't know what that means. It's just a sentence that popped into my head when I was walking down a side street a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what it means, and yet when that thought came up, I immediately recognized it to be true. So what does it mean? I stopped walking so I could make a note of it under a street lamp maintained by a local council. And also, why do we only specify the distance of a relationship when it's long? That thought came up suddenly while I was writing down the first one, so I kept standing there writing. In terms of distance, there's more than just one type of relationship. There are in fact four different kinds. A short distance relationship is a relationship with someone you live with, someone you live and sleep in the same exact location with. A middle distance relationship is a relationship with someone based in the same general area as where you're based. A long distance relationship is the most famous one. That's with someone far away. Most people know what that means, and a lot of people will tell you that that's the worst relationship of all. It probably is. But then there's the fourth kind. The fourth relationship, distance, technically speaking, isn't actually a distance. The fourth one is the relationship, which is beyond space and time. Whichever kind of relationship you may find yourself in, one thing remains constant. The constant is that apparently we all want love. I've heard that said many times and I think it seems true. And I've also heard someone say once that most importantly, what's in here, the person saying this pointed to their head, must get down there. The person then pointed to their heart. Apparently we all want love. That's one thing. But the other thing everyone seems to want to talk about lately is how life is absurd. People are always saying that life is absurd. Life is so absurd. I often feel like I want to say to those people, name one absurd thing about life. Literally one thing. Name one single thing that's absurd. Which if I said that to any of them, it would be a kind of test. I'd say name one thing, and then they would always be able to do it, every time without exception. Because it's extremely easy, because life really is absurd. Personally, I'm in full agreement with that concept.
Thank you, Magic Stephen. That was lovely. I think I'm also in agreement with that concept too. Life is pretty absurd sometimes. So if people want to come and check you out, they want to hear a bit more of that and they want to hear some good music, there's a couple of gigs you're doing around New Zealand. The first one being on March the 27th. It's also got Hunger, Drogon and Power Nap, and it's at the Wine Cellar. It's hosted by the Audio Foundation and tickets are $10 from Under the Radar. You're also heading down to Dunedin and Christchurch, is that right? Or Wellington and Christchurch?
Wellington and Christchurch, yep. Yep, this Thursday night, the 28th, in Christchurch at Darkroom. And then on Friday night at Pyramid Club in Wellington.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for popping up to BFM this morning and chatting to us. I'm sure plenty of people will be heading along to the Wine Cellar. It's a lovely, lovely little venue for that kind of thing as well. Have you ever been down there before?
Not yet. I just arrived here for the first time last night. So, yeah, I haven't been there yet.
Well, welcome. Welcome. And thank you for popping up today as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.